Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by Charity Moran. Did I say that correctly? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it. Charity Moran, like more and more.
Of Sow and Reap. Sorry, that Charity Moran of Sow and Reap. Sorry to cut that off. How are you doing today, Charity?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Very grateful. It's a sunshiny day here in Louisiana.
Yes, it is very sunshiny here in Maryland. It's very hot today. But I'm okay. I'm in the air conditioning, so I'm not mad about it.
Nice.
So, Charity, we're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our recurring segment, Fave Pot, Fave Not Pot. And I'm going to start with my fave pot. If you have been listening to past episodes, you have heard that we featured C. Simone Pepone from Savon Wellness, and she graciously sent me some samples of the new products that they just launched, and I am in love. I took one of the full-spectrum CBD gummies, the sleep gummies, last night in passion fruit flavor, which was like... Oh, it was so good. I mean, it was really delicious. This is so good that I wish I could have just eaten a handful of them, but then I probably would still be asleep. And I slept through the night without waking up, which is a pretty big deal for me. What's your fave pot right now, Charity?
Oh, man. I was really torn about this, but my fave pot right now, I think just in the name of efficiency, I like to consume my cannabis, inhaling it, right? Mm-hmm. I love to smoke a big blunt. So a fronto leaf is my favorite, but I've been falling in love recently with the pre-cut wraps of any brand, really. I haven't found one that I'm just like totally in love with, mm-hmm. but the efficiency and the, you know, I'm just really in love with that right now.
Like already filled, like, you know, pre-filled is what you're talking about? Like already
or even
done?
Just the pre-cut leaf. Yeah, oh, just yeah. The pre-cut leaf. I'll fill it myself, you
yeah.
know? Because that's still a part of the, like that ritual of, yeah. of actually rolling. There's like the loose leaf brand and they have the jungle leaf and things of the sort. So I'm just like, my favorite thing now is just to try all of them and see.
That's not a bad idea. Sounds like a good plan to me. So my fave not pot right now is acupuncture. I freaking love acupuncture, and I'm so excited that I connected with a local acupuncturist. So shout out to Elise Murphy of Blissful Healing Arts Wellness. She also works out of Mana Life Health and Wellness, which is someone I'll be doing a lot of local events with soon. So stay tuned. We'll actually be partnering up with Mana Life Health and Wellness and Blissful Healing Arts for some community-focused events. So I am excited about that. That is also my fave not pot. I'm sliding that in there because I'm excited about all of it, even though it's not all acupuncture. I started with acupuncture and I took a different direction, but I'm a big fan of what she's doing. She does group sessions, and my husband and I recently did one for a full moon ritual, which was really nice. So definitely I will link the practice in the notes, so check them out. What's your fave not pot right now, Charity?
You know, I'm glad you mentioned acupuncture, because I too love that. But I and that kind of same that same energy, I've fallen in love lately with this concept of somatic journaling. And so it's new to me. I don't know if you're familiar, but I've been loving just digging into different just body-centered creative like writing processes and thinking about this human vessel that we're, you know, inhabiting right now. And it's really helping me think about like healing and consciousness. And so I'm really, yeah, somatic journaling. And I've just been Googling random somatic journaling prompts and just grabbing one in the evening to kind of help wind down the day.
I'm so interested in that. I haven't heard about that, but I've been looking at the somatic stretching and somatic exercises. And so I'm really interested in all of the somatics stuff.
Yeah, it's really helping, you know, because we will get into like the mode of business and the mode of, you know, handling the day. And oh, my God, if you watch the news, it can really take you away from the core of why we're here.
Yeah.
So that somatic journaling is really helping, you know, with a little my fave pot item stuffed. It doesn't hurt at all.
No, it's a holistic approach. Yes. You know, and yes, that news really, it can really just throw you off. Like you're feeling all, you know, elevated and connected, like, oh, man, that's to your a higher bummer. Purpose. And then you're like, oh,
exactly.
Why did I turn this on?
Exactly.
Ever feel like life's stress gets to be too much? Welcome to Meet Your Gaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's mitragaya.com and code YHPOD for 10% off.
So switching gears a bit, you curate events in Louisiana. Do you want to talk about what the concept of luxury cannabis travel and like how is it perceived where you are locally?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do. We are a Louisiana-based company, and we curate cannabis excursions and infused five-course suppers. Most recently in April for 420, of course, we had an artisan gathering where we just gathered some local artists and offered like a grazing spread with our favorite chef, Ashley Jonique. Nice. Let that girl cook. Oh, on Instagram and social media. Yeah, I love it. The concept of luxury cannabis travel in Louisiana is, you know, everywhere we go and we're at different festivals and we're interacting with people and, you know, soliciting guests, everyone's pretty open to it. Everyone's pretty open to it. They love the idea of, you know, I'm an educator by first profession. So it's like their favorite field trip. And so, you know, it's just this idea of I'm going to get on a plane and when I land, you're going to pick me up and I don't have to make any decisions. Wow. Like you've created something just for me because you took the time to get to know me first. Like that is just mind blowing to some people. And they really love the idea and embrace it. Even folks who are not necessarily consumers still enjoy partaking in the events because we do have non-infused offerings.
Okay.
And then a travel experience, you know, it doesn't have to incorporate consumption, but we do encourage folks to still take the cultivation tours and still go on the dispensary hops, just still in the name of informed consumption. So we in Louisiana, we pretty much have a wicked warm reception.
Like yeah.
they love it. And then, you know, and abroad as well. So outside of Louisiana, when we're taking folks to Coachella annually or Emerald wow. Cup, like in December, like it's pretty open. And as soon as people find out, they're like, oh my God, more people need to know about this. So that's why I'm here trying to make sure more people get to know about what we're doing.
And so like with the current economy being what it is, are you finding people are, you know, holding back on this type of travel experience?
Yeah. So, you know, we've been around and doing this since 2015. And I'm going to be honest, it really is on us, the business owner, to make sure we're putting information out there in advance enough. I'm finding that folks are more than willing and very happy to come, especially after the pandemic. But it's like, you got to give me more time.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. Not to cut you off, but I have been seeing that. Like, I've seen some offerings out there that I'm like, I would love to do that, but I need like a solid year to plan financially, especially right now. And they'll be like, in 2 months or something, you know? It's like, wait, what? Who has that kind of life right now?
And, you know, being fully transparent, that was our learning curve, immediately after the pandemic. People were still willing, but it's like, I got to really consider the economy. I've got to consider what do I need to do as a business owner to make the luxury affordable? Mm-hmm. And so that then the onus became on me to secure partnerships and sponsorships and, you know, network and collaborate so that I can decrease the cost to the customer, one, and then, you know, make sure our guests have an advanced notice. So folks who have signed up for the newsletter, they already know next year's calendar, and it's not on the website as it stands right now. And that's just some of the benefits of kind of getting people to tap into our newsletter. Mm-hmm. And so that they can get that longer runway. But then right after our Friendsgiving supper series in November, we'll be announcing next year's entire calendar to give people that runway.
Wow.
So that they, you know, so we're doing our best to make sure that we're not cheapening the experience, that the luxury is affordable. And then when they get there, that experience is just, you know, worth every penny.
That's amazing. And do you offer any kind of like payment arrangements for people who are part of the club?
Absolutely. So next year we'll be, and this is being announced in the newsletter, we'll have a subscription, like a travel club membership. And then for those who are not interested in the membership, there are options to establish a payment plan. So maybe you do want to join us to Afro Future Fest next December in Ghana, then start signing up for the newsletter now, make a deposit and either join the subscription membership club or, you know, make those payment arrangements. But a deposit is always going to happen, you know, just to secure your spot. And then we'll
and go the prices there. Are really actually reasonable because I'm looking at the Friendsgiving right now. And I mean, for 6 hours and for everything that you're including, I mean, that is not bad. And it's also, it just seems like an amazing experience, probably like the best holiday experience one could ask for. So do you want to talk about that a little bit more, the Friendsgiving?
I would love to, because that is our sow and reap baby. That's the flagship supper that started all this gangsta stuff, you know? And so, you know, like I said, I'm an educator, but Friendsgiving 2015 to 2018 was always an opportunity to just like get friends together, you know, before Thanksgiving, before the family holiday hubbub. And so it's evolved because now what we're doing, it still has all of the same concepts of that first Friendsgiving where we just had friends over. We fed them, we played games, and then everybody, you know, was given a gift box. At the time, it was something that it was like all of my favorite things, like Oprah.
So it was I love that. That's amazing.
All of my favorite cannabis items. And that first year, I was just really into Marathon OG. So, you know, we just gave everybody boxes of like pre-rolls and, you know, different you know, wraps and leaves and things. Yeah. And we just kind of like made sure that in addition to the gift box and this infused supper that you're walking away also with a charcuterie box.
That's amazing.
Personalized. We work with Chef Ashley in New Orleans, particularly to make sure that those are, you know, very curated. And so since that first one, that's just our flagship supper. And so, you know, it has evolved and grown and elevated and it infuses more luxury. So we encourage, you know, a specific color color scheme when you're getting dressed, because everybody loves, it's more of a cultural thing. You know, yeah. We love a matchy-matchy color, like an ambiance.
Yeah. And there's two shifts, you know, it looks like. You can do a nighttime, or I guess they're both at nighttime, but wow.
It's like dinner shifts. Yeah. And we're partnering now, you know, as the laws in Louisiana open up, as you know, consumption and the consumer themselves are evolving, then we make sure now that we're letting you know the dosage in each item. We talk about the different strains because it's not all THC, you know, in Louisiana, there's Delta 8 options. If you're a medically licensed patient, then we can do some more of these things. And so we just kind of really talk to and hold these fireside conversations. And then we speak to advocacy. So whether you're a consumer or you're curious or you're what we call a connoisseur and you've been doing this, you're a legacy, you're OG in this thing, then no matter who you are, we want you to walk away feeling empowered to know what's going on locally, what's going on nationally, and how is it impacting our Black and Brown brothers and sisters. And so that's it. We have the supper, the 5-course infused. I mean, I cannot tell you.
And then the add-ons too, because you also, which I can't tell you how much this makes me happy to see that you, it says book my flights and find a ride for me and an option to stay overnight. Like literally people don't have to do anything really.
Yeah, no. And that's the affordable luxury piece for you. We want you to feel safe. We want you to come get this experience. We also have newly formed partnerships with local driving services.
Wow.
So if you need to get back to a hotel, if you didn't want to stay overnight, wherever, we'll make that available just in the name of safety, keeping true to sort of setting a precedent, because in Louisiana, public consumption lounges and things of the sort are not yet available because it's not adult use legal yet. It's just medical. And so we really want to get ahead of the curve and start setting some of those standards when it comes to when it's time to talk to legislators. Here's the consumers. We need you to know what to say to them in terms of thinking about regulations and safety and concern and things of the sort.
I love that. So what else do you have going on with Sow and Reap that you'd like to talk about?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to talk about the Ghana trip?
We could, definitely. So there are actually for next year.
Take us around the world, Charity.
I know. We actually, yeah, that's the name of the game. So we want people to know that, you know, cannabis consumption is, we want them to, you know, think globally and act locally. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, you know, and transformative travel is just that, it's meant to change. It's an experience to help you elevate, grow, or expand. And so the Ghana trip is being attached to the Afro Future Fest, which is formerly known as Afrochella, but, you know, copyright and things like that. so, yeah. And so we get folks there. We dig into the diaspora's gathering, you know, which is what it is. And then we explore the culture. We like to explore like a tourist and live like a local when we're in these places. And so we go, we explore, we appreciate the culture there. We seek out like the different locations along the Ghanaian coast and get people, you know, there and to experience it. And let's see, I think my Venus is in my 9th house on my natal chart. So this is like my life's purpose, is to help kind of explore the cultures, the secrets of other cultures, and think about, you know, what does that mean for cannabis? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for me as a person, whether I'm a person of color or not? And so just, that's the Ghanaian trip. Then next summer, there's a South African excursion centered around the Durban Cannabis Conference. Wow. And these are, so just really getting folk to the continent in the name of cannabis consumption, but really digging into the culture and making sure we're not just taking away, but also contributing before we leave.
I love that. I was just going to say something. You just said it so eloquently, though, just like not just visiting and taking and, you know, appropriating and just like really honoring and learning and, having respect. So before we go, is there anything else that you would like to promote? And do you have any calls to action?
I do have a call to action. Because we like to advocate for cannabis justice and attach a portion of every proceed of pickets to everything goes to the Just Us Foundation. What I'd like to do is encourage folks to also join us in that cause. And so their website is JUSTUS Foundation. So if you Google Justice Foundation, they're also on social media, making sure. Yep. Justice.Foundation. They are dedicated to supporting the process of our legacy to legal operators, right? So pre-legislation, pre-legalization cannabis operators, and supporting their entry into the legal cannabis market. And I think when we hear a lot of like generational wealth and you think about the green wave and this, that, the other, the Justice Foundation takes what we talk about at our fireside chats and operationalizes it, puts it into action. So I want to send a call to action out there for folks to join us in that mission. You can also visit our website to learn more and sign up for the newsletter. And so we're at All Things Social Media, Sow and Reap, SEAUX, because we spell it the Louisiana way. And that would just be it.
Also, what a great name.
Yay.
I love it.
Well, you know, you have to sow before you reap. And so, you know, here we are.
I mean, from your lips, it's like, you know, the whole industry needs to be resonating with that message.
Oh my goodness. You definitely get what you give in this place. You know, I've learned that. Yes. Yes. It's a movement. It's a movement.
Well, I appreciate that you're in this movement and everything you're doing, it's just amazing. So I appreciate you spending time with me today and talking about it, and would love to have you come back on to talk about all the other things that you want to talk about, because I love hearing you talk, so, or listening to you talk. So that's pretty much it, right? Until next time.
Thank you. Thank you for holding space for us.
Thank you. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. And now, join me as we take a closer look at the Connecticut cannabis scene with Kristen Souza of Sugar Leaf Boutique.
How are you?
Hi, how are you, Kristen? Sorry.
Good. So glad to be here. No, thank you.
Thank you for being here. So, Kristen, you are very involved with the local cannabis business scene, as well as being a cannabis activist, I would say. What are the attitudes toward the recent legalization in Connecticut from a patient or consumer perspective?
No, interesting question. You know, we've had our medical program for a few years, so I think the folks that were part of the medical program have different view into it, maybe from people that are joining for the recreational side, and also people that kind of just, you know, grow their own and utilize things from their friends. So we've got a few different optics coming in. I would say the attitudes towards legalization from the general public is really good. Like, you know, in my store, I have folks that come in and they're excited about the ability to go purchase it somewhere that's got a storefront. And which is, you know, definitely a benefit to people. It helps break down the stigmas and normalize everything. But as many, you know, if 50% of the population feels that way, I would say the other half is and I, you know, I'm partially in this camp here, is that it's been frustrating how we legalized in Connecticut, because we made it okay for folks to consume it in July of 2021, but we just started getting our adult use dispensaries within the last few months. Mm. So there was well over a year where it was legal, but there was nowhere to go. And now that we have those, there's still primarily operated by the same four cultivators. So we only have multi-state operators in Connecticut. So if you know that, it's problematic for you. I think there are a lot of people that don't really understand the nitty gritty of the industry, and they're just like, oh, cool, I can get it. So
the access.
I guess the attitudes vary. Yeah, the attitudes vary on where your access is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
overall,
you don't have a lot.
I would say good.
You don't have a lot of access in that state right now, right?
No, we don't. I'd have to fact check myself, but I think there might be 9 dispensaries. For the whole state, there's not that many.
Wow.
No, I was working with a client where we had pins on a map of where they were all located, and to see it in that visual, I'm like, oh my God.
And that's a big state.
We're big enough. I mean, we look small on the map, yeah. But we're big enough, and we've got a big enough population. Like, yeah. My city alone is 50,000 people.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
It's
not
know,
as big
yeah,
as the state that we're from, but it's, but not many
exactly.
States are.
So yeah, the attitudes vary.
Yes. Okay. So you work with a lot of local businesses in Connecticut, and I can see that you're doing a lot to change the attitudes, but do you hear any pushback or receive any kind of negativity from other local business owners about like the way things are changing? The other business owners not being in cannabis, I should clarify.
I have noticed there's been a very noticeable change over the past 2 years. My store I opened up about 2 years ago. And so when I first opened, it just coincidentally was the month after we legalized for adult use. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'm primarily a CBD store, but I do consumption accessories and things like that. So I was trying to put together an event that brought in what I call like our Main Street type businesses that have nothing to do with cannabis or ancillary to that, but just collaborating together to break down the stigma. I've never hit so much resistance on a project in my entire life. I was told it wouldn't be the right fit. We just don't do that here. We don't want to be associated with that. It was so hard. And that was like right when it launched. Now people come out of the woodwork and want to collaborate. So it's been an interesting change. Like I'll open my email quite regularly and it'll be, a med spa, a brewery, a bakery, and they do want to collaborate. So the pushback is shrinking.
Isn't that wild how quickly that happens, right? Like even just with this podcast in the beginning, 6 years ago, we had a lot of people not wanting to use their real names or their last names. And we still have that from time to time. But now people are like, yeah, I want to talk about
right?
it. I want to shout it out from the rooftops. And I'm like, yes, okay. That's what I like to
do.
Yeah. So
exactly.
What do you wish that people outside of Connecticut knew about the cannabis industry? Like, I know you're pretty good about covering that on TikTok and other social media platforms. But for those who don't follow you regularly yet, what do you wish people knew?
I would say the main thing, and this is where I get the most pushback on social media, is because it's not localized, it's broad. And so this resistance we have in state to some degree about the dispensaries isn't about the dispensaries. It's about it being consolidated to 4 very large corporations. And so sometimes when I speak out on that, you'll have states like, let's say, Massachusetts or Colorado that get very defensive. Now, I fully appreciate that Massachusetts has, I might be making this number up, but I want to say like 200 dispensaries. I mean, they have double digit 1,000 cannabis employees. It's such a different horizon. So that's what I wish more people understood about Connecticut, is that we're still very much in our infancy as far as a regulated industry. And so supporting our social equity applicants and the folks that won licenses on the lotteries is really important if we want to bring those craft options to market. So that's something both people outside of Connecticut and even a little bit of the folks inside of Connecticut. I wish there was more understanding around that personally.
Yeah. And so what are your hopes for the future of the cannabis scene there?
I really hope that we can, no one state has gotten it exactly right, but I want Connecticut to model the states that have done things right. Like, for example, we're really drawing a line in the sand about consumption lounges.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
In other states. Yeah, like things like that. Or when we legalized cannabis, we also put more stringent guidelines around the Clean Indoor Air Act. So that's great, right? You don't want to be smoking cigarettes in my store. But they made it so that you can't consume anything within 25 feet of a window, vent, or door. So, like, to where I'm in a downtown area, you've got to be standing in the middle of the street to be legally consumed. So my hopes for the future of cannabis is that we, you know, it's a plant. Yeah. I can sit out in my front sidewalk and drink a glass of wine, and that's no problem. But if I were to smoke a joint, that may or may not stir up some trouble. And so that's not, yes, we're legal, but we really need to work on some of these finer points. And so my hopes are that we start to treat it more as the plant medicine and as less toxic substance than some other things that are fully legal.
That's a good hope. I like that.
Yeah,
I know there's a lot of, but that's a good one. And I know that there are a lot. It's a big question.
I could go on forever.
Right. And I love to hear you go on, so I'd be okay with that. But anyway, we're going to have you back on, I'm sure, many times. But before we end the segment, can you tell us a little bit more about Sugar Leaf and also how people can support you?
So Sugar Leaf is I dubbed it a hybrid boutique. So it's a small retail gift shop in downtown Middletown in Connecticut. It's locally sourced CBD products. So I tend to work with folks that are either local to Connecticut or very close. So like I carry the Healing Rose, that's Laura. I've got, you know, some things from Ascended, that's a Connecticut brand, Better Ways LLC, another Connecticut brand. So it's locally sourced hemp products where we can say exactly who grew it and who formulated it. And then it's also glass art. So I have access to glass blowers and glass artists in Connecticut and locally. So it's all American made glass art as well. So we try to amplify our ancillary cannabis businesses. So it's a really great shop in downtown. I have a website and we do online orders. So that's www.sugarleafct.com. And kind of a branch out, I also do a freelance marketing work for cannabis businesses or cannabis adjacent. So that's something I've been doing for a little over a year now, either helping folks that have their provisional licenses get more noticeable, not only through social media, but through events and experiences. So I've had the opportunity to help out with NECAN, the New England Cannabis Convention in Boston and Hartford, and a few other events like that. So all encompassing, it's the store and the marketing that I do.
That's nice.
And I guess I'm online. Like, I think we found each other through TikTok, which I really love. So we're both on TikTok and I'm also on Instagram. Sugarleaf_CT is my business page.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
This episode of Your Highness Podcast is brought to you by MitraGaya.com. MitraGaya.com is giving listeners a 10% off discount when they use the code YHPOD. That's YHPOD at MitraGaya.com, a top-rated Kratom company. Also, you can keep up on the recent events and all the news surrounding our show by subscribing to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter. This episode was edited and produced by James Crash and myself, Diana Crash, and is a production of Your Highness Media. Intro music is brought to you by Your Mom Likes My Music. Thank you for listening.